You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty and ever-living God, we do give you great thanks for this day, for our mothers and for the way that you bless us with them. We pray now as we turn to your word that you would, by your Spirit, send us help, and that we might hear your word, that we might receive your word, and that we might know you more. And we ask all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would please keep your bulletin open to the Acts passage so that you might, like the noble Bereans in the beginning of this chapter, receive the word with all eagerness and examine the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Well, when will all the violence end? When will we see justice for the oppressed, for the marginalized, for the downtrodden? When will evil be finally dealt with? I'm not sure about you, but I'm tired of hearing of all the pain and suffering that's going on in our world these days. I'm tired of all the pain and suffering in my own life. When will it all stop? Well, the Bible says, and as we see in our passage today, there is a day coming when God will finally and ultimately act, when there'll be an end to all of these things, when there'll be an end to pain and suffering, to violence and war, to evil, when justice will finally prevail. For God has appointed a day of judgment. But as Alexander Solzhenitsyn says, if I apologize for those who know how to pronounce that better than I can, but he says this: the line separating good and evil passes right through every human heart and through all human hearts. So that day of judgment is the day when every single one of us will appear before our Creator and he will announce his verdict upon us. Now, a nice cheery word for your Mother's Day Sunday. Because when we hear that, there's a fear that rightly raises our blood pressure, isn't there? I don't like being judged. I don't want to be exposed and being found out as a fraud. But there is some good news. For those who have faith in Jesus Christ, our judgment has already been laid on him. He's taken our punishment and nailed it to the cross. Let's look at our passage more closely to see what it has to say to us today. Well, in our passage, we meet Paul in Athens, Greece, where he noticed that the city was full of idols. There was even an idol to an unknown god. And so taking that idol as his cue, he begins preaching to the Athenians, telling them about this unknown god. Look at verses 22 to 25 with me. Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Paul says that this unknown God is actually the one who created the world and everything in it. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Every mountain, every river, every waterfall, the one and only God made it all. He is the one who calls into existence the things that do not exist. And because he is the creator of all that is, this means he's also the ruler of all that there is. Or as Paul says it here, he is the Lord of heaven and earth. Now, last weekend, you may have been with me in witnessing the coronation of King Charles III. As an Australian citizen, he is still my earthly king. I am the subject of his realm. I have yet to reject his tea or his rule over my life. Now, I thought that was a funny joke. And this crowd, I mean, no one, every service. Maybe there's still some bad blood in the water. He could call on my life if he wanted to. I'm not sure what he would call on me to do, but he has the rule over my life. And similarly, God, as creator, he is the ruler over everything that he has created. He is the Lord of the realm, and his realm is all things in heaven and on earth. Everything spiritual, everything material, he owns it all. And that includes each and every one of us. Being the creator Lord, he is not like idols of those idols in Athens. that live in temples made by human hands. But as King Solomon himself says, after building a temple for God, which represents the presence of God, he says, but will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? God can't be contained by a temple, nor does he need to be served by anything. He doesn't need anything, because he is the source of all life. We're not talking about a mythological God who's the God of the sea or the weather or the football. This is the one true and living God who made everything, the only God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Because he is Lord and creator of everything, we all belong to him. We see that in verses 26 through 29. So let's look at those verses again. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. Well, through our being created by God, we are all children of God. He created each and every one of us, every nation, tribe, language, and people. Whether male or female, black or white, rich or poor, God is the creator of all people. And therefore, every human being has dignity, because we are all created in the image of God. As the Lord and giver of life, he's also in control of when and where we live. He has determined for each of us the periods and boundaries of our lives, for the purpose that we should seek him. And this is precisely what we see the Athenians trying to do. They're trying their best to seek after God, but much like the rest of humanity that are without the Holy Spirit, they were stumbling around in the darkness. They were arms outstretched, trying as hard as they could to grasp hold of God. But in that darkness, in their own darkness, they began to make God in their own likeness. They made images reflecting what they thought God might look like. But they ended up looking more like themselves than the Creator God, the Triune God. But God is not made in our image. We are made in his image. And because of that, we belong to him. He is the artist, and we are his handiwork. And so because God is the creator of all things and therefore the Lord of all things, because we belong to him, the Bible says that there is a time coming when we will all have to answer to God for the life that we have lived. Look at verses 30 and 31 with me. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. God's patience is coming to an end. He has let sin and evil go unchecked for long enough. And there is a day coming when he will finally make the final verdict on our world and our lives. In preparation for that event, God commands everyone to repent. We need to repent because although we are God's children by creation, due to sin, each and every one of us has rejected him as our God and as our Father. We've all turned away from him, seeking independence and control over our own lives. Like the son in the prodigal son parable, we have wandered away from our Father who provides us with all good things, and we've decided to take up with the pigs, living in the pigsty. Paul says that for so long God has been patient by allowing us to continue on living in his world despite this rebellion against him. But now is the time to repent, because the day of judgment is quickly coming. Now, when I say repentance, I think I need to clarify that and revisit our understanding of what that means. It's not the turning away from all the fun things in life, as though God is a Debbie Downer seeking to deprive you of any joy in your life. No, rather, repentance is the turning away from death, the turning away from destruction, the turning away from ruin and from evil, and turning towards life. It's realizing that you live in the pigsty, coming to your senses and joyfully returning home to God your Father. And the good news is, as we read elsewhere in the Bible, the one who is the judge is also the Savior. For those who have already repented, who through faith have put their trust in God, there is mercy and grace. For God has sent his Son into the world to take away our sins. On the cross, Jesus stood in our place before God and pleaded guilty on our behalf, bearing upon his shoulders the punishment that we so deserve. The one man who was sinless was punished for our sin, so that we, the guilty, might receive his innocence, might receive his right standing before God. So that when that appointed day comes, when judgment day comes, when we appear before our Creator, he will look at us and he'll see Jesus and us clothed in his righteousness. And our verdict will be not guilty. We will be welcomed into his house. He will slaughter the fattened calf for us and we will feast at his table. So as you celebrate Mother's Day today, spending time with your family, think on these things. Who is the God that you are worshipping? Is it the God who is Lord of all? Or is it maybe an idol made in your own image? And if your faith is in Jesus Christ, and you have the assurance of being pronounced innocent on that judgment day, then today is a great day to feast with your family, to celebrate with your mom, and to give thanks to God for the salvation that he has won for you in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Today is a great day of feasting, and I encourage you to do that with your family. And let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that though we deserve punishment, though we deserve death, you give us life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that you created us and you sustain us, and that you have won for us salvation through his death and resurrection. And we thank you for all these things in his name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.